Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. It is a Thursday night and the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are live on June 20, whatever this date is. I don't know. I don't care.
It's June 27th. Just get it straight.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. It's been a while since, you know, we've been on the air, but we are back. Like I said, I am the one, the only, the king of kings himself. I am the hot rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only, the man who flew down straight from Miami from the debate to come back to Brooklyn.
Yes, Sean Black in the building once again on my roller skates, yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. I flew in from Miami, and boy, are my arms tired. Whoa, yeah. Right.
Okay. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is Sean, crappy joke of the week. Bop, bop,
yes.
Bop, bop.
Very bad. Yeah, give me my drum roll. Ba-doom-doom.
Okay, reason why we're doing the show right tonight because we screwed up again. We did not do the show this past Monday. And at this time, we hate to inform everyone. It's summertime, so we will do the show now or then. We will try to work with everybody's schedule, like Kendall, Queen T, and Brother B. We will do the show. We will try to do the show almost every week, except for next week. The Hot Rod and Sean Black are on vacation. But after the 4th of July week, we'll try to do the show as much as we can. Still trying to do our Monday night, but like I said, we were trying to do the show at least one time a week. You just have to tune in to find out.
Yeah, at least until we figure we'd probably be back in the normal swing of things probably by like August, September, probably somewhere around
there.
Yeah, so.
And once again, before we start, I'd have to give a birthday shout out to Sean Black.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, yes. Now, enough about you. Back to me. Now.
Thank you.
Like I just said, he flew in from Miami, from the Democrat Party boring debate. Never in my life I have seen a two-night event about a debate so early in the election year. It's not the election year yet.
Yeah.
Already.
Well, we got about 18 months of this to go, so you should get ready for that.
Oh, God. And I'm sure this is one of the many. Why there was two nights of Democrat debates? Because there's too many damn people on the panel.
Oh, yeah.
They have to split it up. Well, by and large, Sean Black, unlike you, you know I don't care about politics. I'm sure you stood up. Watch all the debates. Watch your intakes. Who do you think is from between last night and tonight, who do you think are the lead runners so far?
Well, yesterday it was pretty much, for those that look at boxing or for those that look at wrestling, yesterday would be looked at as what's called the undercard to the main event, meaning that these are the guys that you would probably go to the bathroom when they're on, because you don't really care or believe to listen to what they're talking about. So for that ideology, if you want to think it in that way, you could probably say that. Because
I heard that. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I heard about that. But I think there was one or two people that like, had great potential, like Cory Booker or even Elizabeth Warren. So that's truly one or two people that you might know of into that panel.
Cory Booker and Beto O'Rourke were funny in the sense that they both were trying to pander to the Hispanic vote by speaking Spanish at various parts of the debate. Beto O'Rourke, he came across
after all,
as,
it was in Miami, you know.
Yes.
They were in Miami that night.
And he is fluent in Spanish, but it came across as genuine as as a wet fish.
Booker Spanish. It was Booker Spanish.
Yes. And also, Cory Booker, as I said before, he spoke in Spanish as well. But a lot of the tone that I got from the debate was more or less people trying to break through. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio was there, and he came across to me as a lot of candidates did in both days, interrupting each other like, you know, please, oh, I'm going to say what I have to say. I'm going to impose my – and most of the people that aren't New Yorkers that look at New Yorkers for who they are and think that, oh, they're very obnoxious and they talk over people. Well, Mayor de Blasio did a lot
we
to actually reinforce
yes,
that
we do.
Ideology.
We do that all the time. I don't know what you're talking about. We do that all the time. You always interrupt each other.
Stop interrupting.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Stop interrupting. Anyway, that's pretty much how he came across. And as I said before, even though there are going to be people that are going to be plucked out of that first day, I really firmly don't believe, unless somebody really comes out and excites me after this initial run of debates, I don't think anybody in this undercard, per se, is going to go out and excite the base to have them vote over any of the people that showed up today in today's debate. There were a lot of things that were brought up. Healthcare, immigration, those push button issues that we know are going to be talked about, that we've talked about on our show. So you can fast forward from yesterday and go into today. And today's debate was a lot more substantial. There were a lot more talking points, and it was a little more personal in some instances, like Kamala Harris. She actually talked about in one of the debates, because it was brought up, Joe Biden and his. It was an instance that happened where he basically was saying he had to work when he was in the Senate with people that were already in the Senate that are looked at as racist or looked at as people that were into that had racial views. And he made comments along the line that he had to work with them. Kamala Harris actually talked about how she was one of the last people of her time when she went to school that she was bussed. So we're talking about things that happened in the 60s, when you used to hear about the 50s and the 60s about African-American children being bussed to white schools because they had to try and find places to go to school. She was in one of those classes, and she brought that up. And she felt very offended by the fact of some of the things that he said, while not necessarily calling him racist. So there were a lot of things that were there
but
in the debate.
I'm sorry to say, these type of things happen all the time. And I'm sorry, Sean, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
So you can continue. Go ahead.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's like these people, they go at it all the time, and I think they're missing the whole point of the debate. What people want to see is, what are you going to do in this country for us? That's the bottom line. Everybody on the panel, in my opinion, is at the one thing, triple take. That is to beat number 45. Everybody wants to be the hero to beat number 45. How did number 45 won last year overall? Everybody has different reasons, but bottom line, at the debate, he was different from the other candidates. He didn't speak hate, but he showed some type of leadership. I know you may not agree with that. I know you will go to the facts. When I'm talking debating wise, the campaign worked. We agree the campaign worked back then. And that stupid slogan, Make America Great, was his key point. But he didn't show fear. Even though he's a fraud, a liar, whatever, we already know that. But he showed leadership. He told people what they want to hear. And, like, I want the wall. Number two, let's get the Mexicans out. Number three, let's make America great again. Number four, bring money to this country. That's what American people want to hear. I believe the Democrats don't have that strong leadership. Like you mentioned from last night, you know, and right now even tonight, everybody's pointing at each other. So why do you think can the Democrat Party work together and try to find three or four main people? Well, listen, we need Sean Black, K-Dog, Brian, Queen T. Let's work together and beat this man together as one party. Why does everybody want to be that little tiny hero against Goliath?
And that's because everybody has their own ideology as how to defeat Donald Trump. And I think that in their mind and in their heart of hearts, they feel that because the Democratic Party in 2016 took for granted the vote that they were supposed to, quote-unquote, supposed to get, they took that for granted, and the ones that they expected to vote didn't vote. So what they now are doing is trying to tap into that ideology and then try to remind the Democratic base why you need to vote and what is happening if, between the immigration things that are going on, how this president has handled natural disasters, how this president has handled immigration, we're going to probably talk about that in a little couple of minutes also, and the myriad of things that have gone on over the last couple of years, that a lot of people, if you are a Democrat, you would think you can take those points, put them as bullet points, and just show this is the reason why you don't want to vote for this person again. But what's happening is the Democrats that are running now are going to cannibalize each other because they're now not only they're not attacking Trump on his policy or lack thereof, depending on who you talk to, but they're going after each other because they feel that they are the better candidate to go after Trump. And in doing so, they're basically says that like it's like crabs trying to get out of a barrel. As soon as the crab tries to get to the top of the barrel, the other crabs in the bottom are pulling them under. And while that's happening, the president is continuing unimpeded to run when he's going up for his second term, potentially.
Well, Bernie Sanders tonight was calling, he was trying to be the leader, but he was calling President Trump all these names. He's a fraud, he's a liar, he's a racist. And when I heard that during the debate, I'm like, yes, that may be true, but he's no different than a lot of politicians that we have still in office right now. Let's be honest. There's a lot of politicians who are frauds, racists, bigots, and whatsoever. So what makes him so different from Donald Trump?
I think we pretty much know that. I think that in general, when you're looking at all of the people that have that the president has surrounded himself with over the last few years, the ones that have either gone in and out of office or the ones that are still surrounded by him, a lot of those people think almost in lockstep with how he thinks. And his views have been shown to be very, very, very abrasive, very sexist, very standoffish, and also very racist. And a lot of the policy that he's in place, that he's put in place, are reflecting that ideology, especially with a lot of people among his base. As I've said before, I don't believe everybody that voted for Donald Trump is racist, but I think a lot of racists voted for Donald Trump, and that's the distinction that has to be made.
Well, you're trying to say the hate in America has risen? I don't think so. I think it's always been there.
I think it's been highlighted more as opposed to it being when before Trump decided to run, although we knew that there's the racial element was there, it wasn't as in your face and mainstream as we've seen today, where we're almost inundated daily by a stereotype that's being said by somebody in power or a politician that says something sexist towards somebody or somebody that is alluding to somebody being in a particular situation because of their gender or something along those lines. So we've seen that happen more and more as this administration has gone forward with pushing its agenda, and now we're trying to find out where the safe footing, the safe ground is. Because as we've talked about before also, there's also a war on women's reproductive rights. And a lot of this has happened because of what's happened with the Supreme Court. And now a lot of the groundwork has been made for decisions that can be done years and years after President Trump is out of office.
If he's out of office, he might find his way to become a third-term president or fourth-term president. He might just be 100. You never know.
Right.
Do you think overall, is the debate too early, or are they trying to get a head start on things?
They have to take a head start to some degree now, and it's usually the election cycle starts roughly 12 to 18 months before the election. And if you're going to be one of those people that is going to push out from the Joe Bidens and of the Kamala Harris's and of the names that people know, Bernie Sanders and the like, you have to start early and do something that's going to not only capture the ones that are there, but you also have to remember there's a huge progressive section in the Democratic Party that is much more left than center of the Democratic Party, and they have to be younger. And that's the market that a lot of those people are going towards to try to vote for.
Okay, so here's a trick question. The governor or senator from Phoenix, that's running for president, I forgot his name, the one that's the gay one.
Okay.
He was in a good, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, you mean the one from Indiana, Pete Buttigieg.
Indiana? Yeah. Okay,
yes.
He's not from Phoenix?
No, he's from Indiana. He's mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, okay. Never mind my question. I need to do my research better. That's the bottom line. See, I do make mistakes once in a blue moon, ladies and gentlemen. My bottom line is this, though. This, as we all agree, 2020 will be probably the most watched, most crazy election, I believe, in American history, or maybe in a very long time. This one president is definitely a game changer, whether it's for the better or for the worse, but it has everyone talking and everybody looking. Even other countries like Iran, other crazy dictators are laughing at us and our president, calling the staff and the president retardation.
Yeah.
I know they call, if people don't find that amazing that we are being a laughing stock, let's be honest, despite what you think about Trump, there's a lot of drama happening in the White House that we never heard before or never seen before. And as Sean stated a couple weeks ago, there have been so many firings in one, it's not the first 4 years than any other president in history that we can recall.
Yeah.
If you don't see that as a problem, maybe you're the problem, not Trump. Because I know America people just care about one thing overall, jobs. If the job market is good, if I have money in the stock, I'm good. Nobody want to touch it. But like a lot of people told me, is all this drama worth? You know, the money that we have, quote unquote money that some of us have right now. I don't know. But go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, if we're going on the economy that when most politicians talk about the economy, oh, the economy is doing well, they point to the stock market, which is well over 26,000 points in the stock market. Now, if you're one of those type of people that actually has money in the stock market, then you're probably doing pretty good if you're patient. The majority of the rest of the country neither has the means, the money, or have been informed and taught enough about the stock market to be able to pull in profits from the stock market. So that money that the economy is seeing an uptick in, is it trickling down to the average American who is fighting to make ends meet? And when we talk about how much money, when you're hearing a lot of, especially a lot of the Republican Party, talking about how the $15 an hour minimum wage push is something that they don't like because it's going to push the small businesses out there, then how on earth are you expecting, with all of the technology and all of the advances that have been going on, the rest of the world is way ahead of the United States, and how do you expect them to be able to live after you're pushing them to work 5-6 days a week, 45-50 hours a week, and not pay them more than just a living wage? You got to be able to survive, and that's one of the things that has to happen if you're trying to push the economy forward. And these are the kinds of things that are going to be talked about by these Democrats with the future debates coming up.
Well, talking about the Democrat Party, of course, the question about immigration come up. We discussed immigration for like 1,000 times. It's one of those problems, just like every other topic, will never go away. Immigration in this country is a huge, huge problem. Is that we need immigration, but to a certain level. But unfortunately, thanks to Trump and his party, immigration seems to be blown out of proportion to a certain degree. But there's a story like the attack, Sean, that happened at the border of the United States and Mexico that caught your attention. What is it?
Well, it's the viral picture that has been shown throughout with two migrants, if you want to call them that, coming from, I believe it was Ecuador. Oscar Alberto Martinez Ramirez and his 24-month-old daughter, Valeria, who tried to cross the Rio Grande River to get into the United States, were both drowned trying to cross the Rio Grande. And this was a picture that was taken, I believe, on Sunday, where they found both bodies. Apparently, the father went to look for something. The daughter went to follow the father, and something happened, and he drowned along with the daughter. And you can see from the picture, which is very disturbing, the daughter's arm around the father as if he was hugging her, but both are face down in the water. And the problem that I have with this is this. We know that there is an immigration issue as far as people coming in illegally. But a lot of this has been a man-made crisis by the president, making it seem as if everybody that is migrating into the country are all criminals. Everybody's murderers. They're all drug dealers and rapists. And what we've established, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, like you pointed out earlier, is that there are a lot of people that are just trying to flee from their own poverty, from drug dealing, violence, gang wars. They're trying to escape that to come into the United States. And if there was a way to get into the United States legally or a path to citizenship that didn't have 900 hurdles and the fact that they would be separating families from children from their parents, you wouldn't have this kind of thing. And these are the kinds of issues that are making the United States look like the laughingstock that you brought up, that you said earlier in this conversation. What can you do?
Yeah, I just really have nothing much to say. It's just mind-boggling.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting, but at the same time, just like I said, with this immigration problem, is people don't realize, and I know Trump supporters don't want to see this, we've really gone back in our ways. We have concentration camps for Mexicans and other immigrants down at the border, and they're getting treated like crap with no food, no supplies, no diapers for the kids. And do American people really care, or this is not our problem? They should not come here in the first place. But, and like I always say, who will mow the lawn? Who will pick the food off the farm? Who will help you fix your house? Who will cook for you in the kitchen? And the low-wage jobs. Who wants to do that? Immigrants. So it's funny how America has this turn it back quickly on immigrants because of Trump saying that, you know, like they said, they rapists, drug lords, all that stuff. While most people just come here for a better life. True, there's a lot of abuse in the system. Let's be honest about that, Sean. You know, abusing the welfare system, housing, and all that stuff. But it's not only Mexicans. There's Jews, there's Blacks, there's other Latinos, there's whites. Everybody abuses the system to a certain degree. So I think, like you said, you used the keyword early, it's been highlighted how the Mexicans are abusing the system. So because of because of the Mexicans, a lot of people in this country, like I said earlier, are concerned about jobs. You know, the immigrants come up here, or they're going to take our jobs away. And because of that fear, America turned their back on the Mexicans, I believe.
The fear of losing jobs that a lot of Americans don't even want. If you think about it, how many times have you heard about the Mexican guy that came over and got a job doing what would be looked at in this country as a menial task? Oh, he's working at a fast food restaurant, or he's a janitor somewhere, or he's washing clothes in a dry cleaner, something along those lines, something that most people that you look at that you used to do those as like summer jobs for teenagers or anybody that's looking for an entry level position when they get right out of high school or going into college to do. Oh, we can't be. I can't be seen doing this job. It's beneath me. It's an $8 to $9 an hour job. I'm not going to do that. Those same jobs that are, even though it's low paying, it's still money. The people that are coming from other countries that are trying to make it will take those jobs gladly to be able to put money in their pocket and provide for their families, to be able to bring their families over. And if you give them a path to citizenship instead of ostracizing them as criminals and rapists, that would actually then help out relations between the United States and other countries. And these are the kinds of things that the United States was built on. But as we've seen before, Donald Trump and this brand of making America great again, with all of the connotations behind it, if you ask any African American what they think of that actual slogan and what it means, it's the same kind of thing that will incite lots of pride for certain people, and in others, and especially in a lot of minorities, a lot of anger, a lot of vitriol, and a lot of reminding of the way things, quote unquote, used to be, which is what they're trying to get away from.
Well, here's the thing. So you're telling me that as taxpayers, we're using millions of dollars for basically concentration camps, while once again, America has a problem of its own. So instead of sending these people back, quote unquote, instead of fixing Flint, Michigan water, we're paying camps to help people in. And we're not even feeding them, like I said, or giving them water or any type of good treatment. Basically, we're treating them like dogs. And this one makes America great again.
Hey, this is coming from the president that wants to resurrect jobs in the coal factory, which we all know coal is not only a fossil fuel. It's an old fossil fuel, an old dirty job, as they used to call it, which is actually ruining the environment and ruining the ozone layer, which makes a lot of the carbon footprint.
But he does not believe in climate change.
Exactly. And see, that's part of the other thing, is that a lot of people that are climate change deniers that the president has on his side that vote for him, he continues to stoke that base to bring more attention to that particular issue. And at the same time, while he's doing it, they're hurting in the long run. Because I just actually read an article just a couple of hours ago that scientists right now are saying that by 2031, if the planet does not change its ways as far as lowering the carbon blueprint and reducing fossil fuel use and using sustainable energy instead of the stuff that we've seen right now and polluting the rivers and everything, it will be an irreparable situation that will cause great harm to the planet that cannot be reversed. We're talking like 12, 13 years from now. So that's something that has to be thought about going forward.
Well, I'm not
the
worried
only way
about
that
it.
Changes is
that
if somebody can make money off of it.
Of course. Well, on to two more topics before we go. I told this Sean briefly of a story last week. On many times on the show with Big Red, Quincy, and other females, we talk about the Me Too movement and how sexual harassment, the good and the bad. And I always try to explain, like, you know what? Yes, we need to be awareness. you know, women need to speak up and men need to speak up against sexual harassment charges. Or and it's also wrong to where you communicate with a woman. But I want to talk about the communicating, when you try to talk to a woman a nice way. But when we always said that us men, we have to be careful what we say because we don't know what the outcome is. Because you know what, you go say hello to someone, and a female or male, but most likely a female, in my opinion, will jump the gun and ask, "What do you want? Do you want my number? I don't want to talk to you. You're not my type. Blah blah blah." I was doing a temporary job. I worked for an audience for a show in New York City, and then the audience members left to go out, and then one lady, maybe a high school, college girl, I don't know, came back to the building and told security and I that she left her jacket inside the studio. I escorted the lady inside for her to look for her jacket. She explained to me that she's a little bit worried because her jacket has her keys and IDs and so on and so on. Like I said, I brought her inside. I don't have her look for herself. She was a little bit nervous. And then what happened was she could not find her jacket. So we both knew that someone took it already. And then she had a nervous breakdown and started crying and basically went to her knees. Without any thought about it, I jumped back away from the girl with my dead life and depend on it. Without me even thinking, I just jumped back. Like I told Sean, the normal thing, the right thing, or the moral thing to do is, you know, to console the person, like maybe put your hand on the shoulder, like it could be all right, just think about it, blah, blah, blah. You know, try to make the person feel a little, you know, try to calm the person down. But instead, I see a young white girl, maybe in her 20s, who knows, bringing out crying because someone took her jacket, took her house keys, took her ID. And here I am, scared for my life. And I jump away, tell me, listen, I need a job. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be pressed charges against me. And like, Sean and I would laugh about this. But this is a serious thing, you know. I'm in the studio, dark, nobody around, no witnesses, and I was scared for my life. I'm not saying that the girl would have stated that I had touch or anything like that. But you play by the role of you never know. Sean, in this era today, do you think I did the wrong thing? Or, like, this is what society is right now, you cannot take any chance?
I think society is still trying to figure out how it's trying to relearn going back into the quote-unquote battle of the sexes, so to speak. Because we all have seen or heard stories of whether it was true or not, something that may have been implied by something that could have been looked at as a genuine gesture of something like you just stated. Now, you don't want anything like that to happen because, like you said, it's your job. You don't want anything to happen. You don't want to lose your livelihood because of something that could have been maybe misconstrued. And in your mind, you're thinking three steps forward. That not only did that seem the case, we're also as a society kind of starting to lose our humanity now. And when you look at how women and males interact with each other before any of this Me Too movement stuff happened, there seemed to have been a little bit of progress on some levels. Now we're starting to see how a lot of these things are changing, and now a lot of men are safeguarding themselves against contact with females because, let's be honest, a lot of males, and I've heard this on, like, various talk shows, men are scared because they don't know if something that they say or do may be misconstrued as something that will be taken out of context, may be looked at as something sexual, or potentially sexual, that may not be the case. And I'm not saying that that's what is the entirety of everything there, but there's that thought process that you have to think about.
For example, me and a guy was talking about completely different things, and he was a term, like, joking around, not referring to nothing sexually, about object or whatever. Oh, turn me on, turn me on. And me and my guy, hey, we can't say that too loud, you know. Because someone might turn around and hear, turn me on. And like you said, jump to the conclusion and blow it all out of proportion. And I think that is very sad. If I'm not referring to you or talking to you, I'm talking to Cato about a completely different thing. And use the term, turn me on. That, I believe that should not give you the right to jump to the conclusion or to interfere with what you guys are talking about. Well, fortunately, in this days and age, in the workplace, they're entitled to find out what's going on. Why did he say, turn me on? Really? And then the other term that even when females use the term in a joking manner, as a male, I believe you have to be careful of the response to that. But what happens if a girl crackles a dirty joke and you crack up a dirty joke back? Who's wrong? Or you crack up a dirty joke back and she didn't like it and you got in trouble. You see what I mean?
And like, that's where a lot of people are on the fence as to what to say. How do you say it? As I said this well over a year and a half ago on the show, I said that men are going to have to relearn how to interact just with women in general. The things that they thought that they could, quote unquote, get away with, that they could say that would be construed as normal, those days are over. They have to now think much clearer, have to be much more mindful, and also not be as piggish and bullheaded as most men have been in the past in dealing with females.
I agree with that thought, but at the same time, what can you say that cannot be used against you in a court of law?
Well,
you know?
We know that there's a limit to certain things, but at the same time, I think if most males use some sort of couth and some sort of foresight and think, then a lot of this can be avoided. But what has happened before, a lot of men have done a lot of dumb things, have said a lot of dumb things, and women are at the point now where they can't take this anymore and they won't stand for it.
But, like you told me many times, and you told me outside the line, if you see a woman, beautiful woman walking down, and you just want to say, hello, miss, you look lovely today, and then want to keep on moving, you can't even say that no more. Because she will look at you like, what are you aiming at? What do you want? Why are you looking at me? And God forbid, you know, a woman wears something on the chest, you know, to print your shirt, and you try to read what it says, because let's be honest, it's the eyes of the beholder. You see something on the chest you like to read. People read other people's T-shirts all the time. It's a natural thing to do. But let's say a woman is big-chested and she's saying, and of course, the chest saying, hello. You're reading it. Are you wrong for looking straight at her chest? Does she have a right to curse you out? Because he was looking down at her shirt. Does he see what it said? And why do we don't say anything? And, you know, try to behave yourself. There are some females, not all, that will come at you to make sure, you know, like to make your life miserable and try to get will beat you up. Why are you not looking at me? It's like I told the producer, it's like damn if you do, damn if you don't. There are some females that want attention, there are some females that don't want attention. And like I said, I do agree. Men have to be careful, you know, no more the cat call, no more like, hey baby. We have to be careful, but there are some guys who just try to be a gentleman who are afraid to be gentlemen. Because it might come back and backfire on them. I think that's where I'm aiming at.
And that can actually be an issue. But at the same time, like I said before, it's almost like a relearning of how males and females interact with each other. And as going forward, the Me Too movement, if people want to be looked at as the genesis for the way things are going on now, and I don't even think that's the case. I think just in general, women are just tired of being, for the most part, treated as pieces of meat and just eye candy. And I think overall, as this has evolved, with all of the nonsense that has gone on with a lot of people in high, powerful places finally getting their comeuppance, We don't want to also, as they say, throw the baby out with the bathwater and start accusing people that have not done anything for just the idea of them doing or saying something, which could be just a completely innocuous a compliment or a comment that could be misconstrued as such that could get someone in trouble. So that's kind of like where we're at right now.
Well, going back to Cuba Gooding Jr. that we talked about a few weeks ago, when he placed his hand on the arm, who knew if that was a nice gesture or not? We both agreed if the woman was not comfortable with that, she should have pushed her hand right away from it, right?
You would think that would probably have been the case, but as we stated before,
Or she just let it, you know what, this is the first time I'm meeting him, I would let it slide the first time. But you know what, I believe that's part of the mixed signals, and that's the problem. She's thinking one thing, he's thinking another thing.
And also, in the setting, and in the fact that I'm pretty sure all of them had at least something to drink. So I think that the mindset isn't probably thinking that immediately because of the fact that there was alcohol potentially involved. I don't know if whoever's thinking was inebriated because of that. Who knows? But in general, those are the kinds of risks that seem to happen if you're in a club setting and everybody's having alcohol and people aren't thinking about things. They're just acting. You know how some people, you've seen this before. You go out in public, somebody has a couple of drinks, they walk up to somebody, and they start talking, and then they think that they're comfortable enough to lay a hand on somebody's knee, or somebody cracks a funny joke, or what they term is funny, and they put a hand on an arm. And it could be something completely innocent, but can be misconstrued as something different, because they don't know that they're invading that other person's personal space. And the other person that's sitting there may have had one too many to drink and maybe doesn't react the way that they might normally react to that same touch or that same gesture. So these are the kinds of things that happen that have to be considered as well when talking about this, as well as what was said, the people that are involved, the personalities, et cetera, and find out the bottom of everything. Plus the video. So all of that involved has to be taken into consideration.
And I'll go back to my story, and once again, when I saw, and like I told someone, like, you have a black man with a young white woman in a dark area, no witnesses around, you'd be damn sure I am not taking no chances at all. Because one little story, one little lie will be blown out of proportion, and I guess we'll be out of the job. Because with everything that's going on today, with the Charlie Rose, Cuba Gooding Jr., R. Kelly, the list go on and on. No one is not taking chances. So whether I did something wrong or not, that little story could have changed everything. But that young girl could even say, so-and-so has touched me on my shoulder. That's it. You lose your job just for that. Just for being a good person. And that's mind-boggling, but that's what society is today. But Donald Trump could grab a woman by the vagina. That's no problem. He's president.
Yeah. And even more disturbing, outside of that particular topic, there are so many things going on. You know how we've talked about abortion and those kinds of things that are going on today? I read a story just earlier that a friend of mine sent me about a woman in Alabama who got into an argument with another female. This woman was pregnant. She was shot.
Yeah.
The baby died. The fetus died. And now the person who was the victim, who was shot, can now be potentially arrested because in Alabama, that would be considered a part of an abortion law. That has, remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how there are 30 states that are trying to abolish abortion, and Alabama is one of them. This could now be the slippery slope. So,
but once again, we don't know, number one, we don't know the whole story of what really happened. From what I read, it was a pregnant woman then started and threatening the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the other woman who shot her, quote unquote, did it in self defense.
Yeah.
So they turned the table. What happened? That pregnant woman, you know what? I don't want this baby. I'm going to go fight with someone and see what happened to it. Get to a fight. She did not expect to get shot. But you know what? If she punched me in the stomach or threw me to the floor, that's one way of killing a baby without going to abortion. I'm being honest here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. People are crazy that way. I know you want to defend his mother, but we don't know the story.
We don't know all of it. We don't know every single detail of the story, but we're still in the mindset that women are still being punished for having reproductive organs. And to think that somebody gets into a fight, even though we don't know what started it, we don't know who initiated, whatever is the case, and more info will come from that. But in that being the case, that I saw on the news, and there were a lot of people that are protesting and are trying to figure this is the slippery slope, because if this goes to court and something happens, and then this goes against the person that is in, that was the victim of the shooting, lost her baby, and
she's not going to win, Sean. I'm sorry to tell you, she's not going to win. She's not going to anything. Don't be surprised she ended up in jail. You know why. Do I have to say it?
Yes, you say it, because I've been saying it for a couple of weeks, and you say it this time.
Because she's black. A black woman in a redneck state? No, I'm not against her.
For those people that don't realize exactly how this abortion Roe versus Wade decision is being played out amongst the Bible Belt areas and for the places that voted for Trump, this is one of those cases that can bring all of this to the forefront and show you exactly what is going to be the case. Now, if this becomes a national thing, if this gains any momentum going forward, we're going to have so many debates, so many things going on, and it's going to be an absolute nightmare for anybody that's for or against abortion.
The only way, if that happened to your statement, if it was a white woman. I'm sorry to say this, that's the only way. This case will be just another case, and that will be big. It may seem big to you, but not big enough to go to the Supreme Court.
This is the first we're hearing of a case like this. So,
yeah,
who knows?
But I guarantee you, it was a white woman that got shot by a black woman. Yeah, I will agree with you 100%. It will go nationwide. Why?
Yeah.
Because the race card would be involved, as always.
And the instance that makes it so unique is the fact that the woman who is pregnant, just to reiterate this to people that don't understand this, the woman who was pregnant, 5 months pregnant, she lost her baby because she was shot. The victim is the person that can go to jail, because this would be looked at under the non-abortion laws as her having an abortion. Don't you think about how weird that sounds?
The shooter might not go to jail because it's called self-defense.
Because of the claiming of the person that did the shooting was shooting in self-defense. Think about that.
Of course.
And see where that goes from there.
You have a black woman coming towards you. That's you're scared for your life. We know how black people are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is in Alabama. So, the story is up. You can find it wherever you get your news, wherever it is, and read the story and see exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, last topic, as the month of June has come to a close, is Pride Month, Sean's favorite month of the year, and along with K-Dog. Congratulations. before we celebrate Pride Week, this year they made Pride Month. I know what you want to say, Sean, but I just have to ask this question so you can piss me off, as always. Not aiming attacks on gays or lesbians, transgenders or whatever. Do you think, especially in New York, the Pride Month has been overexposed? Like advertised everywhere, train stations, stores. You think there was too much exposure about Pride Month?
I don't think it's too much exposure. What I think it is that other places, other cultures, other, I don't know if you say like religions, races, creeds, et cetera, get as much attention as we've seen with Pride Month. We know that in February, Black History Month, it's in 28 days, and it's all of the African Americans and people that have been important to time in America. And we know usually, I think it's in October, is I believe it's like Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and you hear about doctors that have done things that have helped trying to get people information about certain forms of cancer and trying to get cancer awareness. So we have specific months for certain things that are mindful for people to remember. Pride Month is something that it's like you said, it started as Pride Week, and it has evolved into Pride Month. I have no problem with it, personally. It's getting much more recognition in the LGBT community for a lot of things that they have been able to do, and you're hearing much more information about people within that community that actually have done things. So it's more information that a lot of people didn't get. I have no problem with
it. Okay. Well, you forgot to mention March is Women's Month. No, April is Women's Month. March is Asian Month. Then every other month, as you said, that'll get the same exposure as this one. No problem. I understand that. But even I talked to some gays and think like, this is overkill. And some of them believe that this is overkill. But let's be honest. Here we are, over especially in New York. We want that this Sunday coming up. We want that one of the biggest gay parade in U.S. history. So I believe 3 million people. Great. Fantastic.
That's upcoming Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Love is love. That's the slogan. Great. Happy for my friends. But overall, no matter where you go, you see the rainbow flag, rainbow signs, train stations, like I said, stores. I believe it was overexposure. And I'm going by the logic our friend Max told me a long time ago. It's all, to me, a marketing scheme of making money from the gay and lesbian community. But like I told my gay friend, they agree. Okay, once it hits July, who cares? It's back to celebrate America Month. Who cares about the gay community? We gave you a month. We made millions and millions of dollars from you. But like Max told us a long time ago, the gay community spend a lot of money. So, of course, a lot of stores, a lot of businesses take this opportunity to market it towards the gays and lesbian community. Even though some of them probably don't care about gays or lesbians, they just want the main thing, money. Why does gays and lesbians, why does the Pride community spend so much? Let's be honest, most of them don't have families, they don't have kids, so they are financially stable to spend the money compared to me, who has 2 kids, who barely can eat most of the time, I'm being honest. I just find that funny how the marketing, just like Christmas, just like Valentine's Day, in America, they take any little thing and make a business out of it. And just, I believe they take the true meaning out of it. Like you said, yes, it's awareness for the gay pride community. But now I think that's being died out because, hey, let's make money out of it. Well, we're not making no money no more? Okay, on to the next. On to 4th of July.
I think that goes for pretty much anything. I mean, look at what they've done with Christmas.
Yeah.
Look at what they've done with Easter, or what they've done.
Yeah,
they've
but those
taken...
are holidays. Those
yeah,
are holidays.
Yeah.
I'm talking about something we're supposed to celebrate and bring awareness of. Like, you see, just like breast cancer. Yes, you see breast cancer. A portion will go to, breast cancer research, which is fine. But you don't hear that much. Come support my store, a portion will go to the LGBT community. You don't hear that. You just see the red flag, or come support my store, but I support the gay people. Let's be honest. Most of that is BS. You can make excuses all you want. Most of that is BS. That's what I'm aiming at. Well, go ahead.
Well, I think that in general, what we're seeing, and we see this like on TV shows, and I've seen websites that have changed the logos of their website and have put rainbow coloring within their logos, et cetera, et cetera. And that's to bring, like we said, attention to Pride Month, and you know, like I said, informing people of the things that have happened. This is the 40th anniversary of the Stonewall Inn incident that happened.
The 50th. That's what the biggest 50th. Get your facts together.
Yes, 50th. Yeah. Well, at least I know about that. So there.
Yes, you were there. Duh.
In any event, to bring attention to that and all of the things that entails is important for the LGBT community, and that people that identify with that can now look at that and say that they are being listened to, they have as much of input in things that have happened. Gay marriage has now become law nationally, although there are politicians that would like to change that in some instances. And there has been a progression in the LGBT community that have moved things forward for their own rights. Remember, there was a time when if a gay or lesbian couple, one of them got sick, one of them couldn't get health coverage because there was no gay marriage, and it was always next of kin to get certain health benefits. So that has changed. Those kinds
that
of
has
things.
Changed because they want to make extra money. Healthcare is a huge, huge business. I mean,
well,
yes, right. They have come a long way. Let's be real about it.
But
why?
We know there's money to be made in anything in this country, and that's the reason why capitalism has always been the main topic for everything. That's the reason why pharmaceutical companies are around the way they are, because they can make money hand over fist, and that's what they're doing right now. The internet technology industry is making money hand over fist. Anything you can put your hands on, you can make money off of, and that's what's been now. So the fact that if you want to say that the LGBT community is making money off of Pride, what was Pride Week and now has become Pride Month, if you want to say that, there's money to be made in that. There's money to be made in anything. See, they can make money off of Black History Month in certain instances where you can have certain restaurants and certain programs.
Do you see that? Not as much compared to others. Black History is like very not as much. You don't see white people celebrating Black History Month that much. I mean, we might have, but the white people don't care. Jewish people don't care. We're like, oh, this is Black History Month. We don't care. But the LGBT, oh, this is everybody. Love is love. Asian people, vice versa. Do we celebrate Asian people much? No. We don't care. Well, that's not our people. You know, once again, I believe we pick and choose. You know. We don't, there should be acknowledged, like, you know what? We should celebrate each other. But we eat Chinese food, you know.
I understand.
Overall, I just believe we need to support each other no matter what. I do agree on that. And on that note, like I said earlier in the program, ladies and gentlemen, Sean and I, along with others, will try to get ourselves together. We'll be on here and there. Just please stay tuned and be patient with us during the summer. We'll be going back to our regular schedule, hopefully in September, August or September. On that note, have a safe and happy July 4th. Sean, bless
you.
Thank you. Unfortunately, I want you to be back. And is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off?
Yes, please make sure that you don't you don't drink and drive. That's just one thing. And I say that as many times as I can, especially now. It's the summer. Kids are out of school or close to being out of school. Enjoy yourself this summer, but please be safe. That's one of the best things that I can say.
And you just remind me quickly, we have 4 concerts in this month in New York City that commit suicide. Suicide and mental illness is a real thing. If you know someone that needs help, please help them. If you need help, there's always someone to call and to talk to, even Sean Black. Not me. I'm too busy. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another crazy edition of The Absolute Truth Show right here on Block Talk Radio. I am the High Rod, and he is
Sean Black.
And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all mine.
Yours, of course.
Really mine, not you. It was all me.
Well, I understand, yes.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.